Children's Church. I see some of you adults trying to sneak out. I never know exactly how many are supposed to go on Sunday morning. But anyway, we're so glad you're here this morning. We really are. You know, we are living in a very unusual time. We are living in a time when we are seeing changes take place, changes that I never thought I would see in my lifetime, but they are taking place. We, most of us, as adults, grew up in a country where it was free, where we had liberty. And there are a lot of different kinds of liberty. And we're going to spend several Sunday mornings talking about the different kinds of liberty. But this morning, what we want to first of all talk about is true liberty. Because there is false liberty, and freedom and liberty are not exactly the same. Liberty is the opportunity provided to do what is right. Freedom is to do whatever you want, whether it's right or wrong. Liberty is to do what is right. And that is what is a certain portion of our society is trying to take away from us. They are trying to take away our liberties. And the first one they have to take away is our spiritual liberty, because as long as we retain that, they will not have the control they have to take away the other liberties. Jesus, when he was dealing with his disciples, as recorded in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, said this, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." Father, help us to understand your will in this matter. And Father, may your will be done in each of our hearts and each of our lives. And may you be glorified in all that takes place. And we will praise you for what you do, because we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. This verse from Luke 4 is only part of the statement that the Lord made while he was ministering to the people of his day, the needs of his day. He finished the phrase in Luke 4:19, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. God sent him to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And for us, folks, that year is 2021, because that's the year that we are living in. And that is the, for us, the acceptable year of the Lord. I am so glad that I belong to him in this year. And I'm so glad that you profess that you belong to him also in that year. What makes this the acceptable year of the Lord? It's the only year that we have. There's no guarantee for tomorrow. None of us have a guarantee that we'll be around tomorrow. This is the year that we are living in. This is the acceptable year of the Lord for us. And there are things that we are supposed to be accomplishing in this year, and those are things that we want to look at. If you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior this morning, 2021 is your acceptable year of the Lord. Next year's not guaranteed. Tomorrow has no guarantee upon it either. The only thing that we are guaranteed is today. When you get to the end of this day, will you have an answer to the question, what did you accomplish today for the Lord? What did you accomplish today for the Lord? You know, there was a time when all of us were in bondage to our enemy, the devil. We were living in sin. We were living for sin. But Jesus, through the power of God's Holy Spirit, changed all of that. We came under conviction and we went to him and we pleaded his shed blood upon our sin. We believed that God had raised him from the dead. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, we were born again. We're not the same people we were before. We're different. Now, before, we couldn't help ourselves from committing sin because we had a sin nature. But the Holy Spirit dealt with that. And since we have been saved, he helps us to resist sin. Not all the time. We're not totally successful, but he helps us to break the chain of sin that was binding us to the world. We submit to the authority of Jesus Christ. He is our Lord and our Master. And for the first time in our lives, we experienced true liberty. This nation was founded upon the principles of God's Word. And in that Word was true liberty. This morning, we're starting a new series about liberty. And I'd like you to understand that liberty must be purchased. It doesn't come free. Liberty has to be purchased. And in most cases, it's purchased by blood. First, it was the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then to maintain the liberty that we enjoyed as a nation, the blood of thousands, hundreds of thousands of men upon the battlefield defending the liberty and the source of the liberty. They gave their lives. When this nation started, and the Pilgrims, the early settlers came here, they came looking for liberty. They came looking for the freedom to obey their conscience and what they understood this book to tell them to do. They tried remaining in Europe. They went to Holland, and even there they experienced persecution. They experienced limitations where they could not worship. And so they invested all that they had in a ship to bring them here. And that ship proved to be unworthy, unseaworthy. And that's how they wound up on the Mayflower. The rest of what they had intended to bring with them in the way of financial goods and treasure were invested in that voyage. And they made it at the risk of their lives. Some died on the voyage. They got here. And by the end of the first winter, more than half of them had invested in liberty with their lives. They died. The severe winter, they weren't ready for it. They had no idea of what they might encounter with nationals, the Indians living here. They took some of their lives. But they did this for liberty because it was so precious to them. And I hope this morning that for each one of you, the liberty we have in Jesus Christ is a most precious possession of your life. It became theirs. Those who survived stayed on. They knew it was worth the investment, even if it cost them their life. For many years, the early settlers were willing to sacrifice their lives to the harsh climate, to the natives who occupied this land ahead of them, in order to have liberty. Liberty is an appropriate topic for the born-again Christian to study, because as you will see, there are many different kinds of liberty, and all of them come from God. Liberty comes from God. It does not come from the government. It does not come from any other source but God. There's spiritual liberty. That's what we'll look at this morning. Next, we can examine religious liberty, then political liberty, defensive liberty, and then finally economic liberty and constitutional liberty. These are all various kinds of liberty that you and I have enjoyed until now. But there is an element that wants to take them away. And in order to take them away, the first liberty that they must crush is our spiritual liberty. Oh, you can put a man in prison, but he can still have liberty in his heart. You can't squelch that. So even though every one of these liberties comes from God, there is a price to be paid for each one. The early settlers were looking for liberty. Liberty to worship God according to the dictates of their consciences. They had the Holy Spirit indwelling them, and they had a conscience that prompted them to observe certain procedures that the Bible talks about. They were prompted by the Holy Spirit within them to get involved in certain daily activities, and these were being restrained where they were in Europe. So they came here to have liberty as well as freedom. There was a regimen of prayer and public reading of the word. There was a majority of the society was obedient to the word of God. Today, that's not the case. That's not the case at all. Today, we're being attacked by our own government for wanting to pursue what we find promoted in the word of God. Truth has become relative as to whatever dishonest authorities want to make it. Even if their idea of truth contradicts what God says in his word, they still portray it as truth. For the majority of governmental actions and legislation, God no longer exists. It's a sad state. For the believer, this kind of activity is becoming an obstacle to living according to the dictates of our consciences. We've come full circle. The early settlers came because they didn't have that freedom. And here we are again, experiencing the same problem. What can be done? Let me share some thoughts with you about what the Word of God says we can do. If you have a Bible in your hand today, you have the answers to any questions about how things can be dealt with and what can be done. The answers are in the divinely preserved Word of God. And that's where we're going to go for our answers. Once we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we have the Holy Spirit living within us. He's living within our heart. He goes everywhere we go. He guides us as to what is right, what is wrong. He pricks our conscience when we're about to do something stupid. We do it anyway. But he pricks our conscience, and somebody's usually around, hopefully not your mate, say, "I told you so." He can say that and get away with it. But he pricks our conscience as to how God wants us to live our lives. And somehow we've forgotten or stopped, excuse me. Thank you, AB. You kept us from having to close now and go home early. I see a few disappointed faces out there, okay? Somehow we've forgotten or have stopped believing that one man with God is a majority. One man with God is a majority. You cannot be overcome. Somehow, God will take care of his faithful children. He'll do one of two things for them. He will either, and that's all of us, we're his children, and so he will do one of two things. He will either take us through the situation, or in some cases, he takes us out of the situation. Either way is fine with me. I'm going to get through it. But we belong to God, and God does not let the world overcome his children. That you must remember that. God is not going to let the world overcome you. And I want to refer to some scripture. We're going to look at a lot of scripture this morning, because it's the scripture that is going to carry us through. It's the scripture that's going to direct us and encourage us and give us hope. If you will, turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Now, this is a somewhat lengthy passage, 9 verses. But I want us all to read this together to remind us of the truth of God. Paul, writing to the Roman church, says, "What shall we then say to these things?" Chapter 8, verse 31. "If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded," I love this, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Wow. Now, the Apostle Paul made this statement to the believers at a time when they were all under the authority of the Roman government. And they seemingly had no liberty. They had to do what the authorities demanded. The believers had other enemies also. They had the Jews. The Jews didn't want any Christians to exist. The Jews hated them and wanted to kill them. They had the devil, and he wanted to confuse them and to cause divisions among them. They had their own families who thought that they were traitors for betraying their original faith. Oh, they had enemies. They had enemies who wanted to terminate their existence. Let me share with you something that is as important as life itself. Spiritual liberty has nothing to do with the situation around us. Spiritual liberty has nothing to do with the situation around us. It has totally to do with the condition within us. It's not what's going on around you. It's what's in you. That is true spiritual liberty. It cannot be affected by from the outside. It's living within us. Galatians 5:1 says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage, sin." No one can take it from you, but you can give it up with a bad attitude, wavering faith. You need not enter into sin even under the threat of death, because death just sends you home to be with your Lord. They can't take your liberty away. Do you remember what Jesus told his disciples? I find it interesting as to how each disciple heard what Jesus said and how they represented it as they wrote their gospels, their different gospels, how they made different emphasis. Matthew, when he heard the Lord talk about this subject, tells us in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Yep, that's the only person we need to fear. Luke, on the other hand, tells us in Luke 12:4-5, "And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him." Fear God. Fear displeasing Jesus Christ. So we have nothing to fear except loss of our faith in Jesus. And though times may look dark, we are secure in Jesus Christ. Nobody can take him away from us. Our spiritual liberty came from the same source that the founders of this nation got their liberty: God. The people who believe that they control us have no idea where our strength comes from, because they have never experienced it themselves. The only strength they understand is physical strength, the power of authority. Is there anyone with the power of government behind them that has the power to cast into hell? No. So what are we afraid of? As a matter of fact, most of them are on their way to hell at this very moment. And we should be pitying them. Unless they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, they will stand in the great white throne judgment for the way that they have behaved and the things they have done to the people around them. And then, if they stand in that great white throne judgment and their name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, they will be cast into the lake of fire for eternity. Wow, that's sad, folks. Just think of that. We need to pray for and pity them. Now, Jesus made a statement to his disciples just before he gave them the Great Commission. And I want to remind you of this morning so that there be no fear. And it tells us in Matthew 28, 16 and 18, 16 through 18, then the 11 disciples went away to Galilee unto a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some still doubted. Verse 18, and Jesus came and spoke to them and said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. All power. Anything going on around us, Jesus has empowered it. He's permitting it to happen, but he has the power to change it. He has the power to stop it. All power belongs to Jesus Christ. We need not fear. Now, when Jesus said that all power was given unto him, he meant that all the power was his to command. No one has more power than Jesus. And if we belong to him, that power is available to us to protect us, to take care of us. If we go back to our opening verse, it tells us that Jesus was sent for many purposes into this world. And one of them was to set at liberty the bruised. And folks, every one of us sitting here this morning in some way, in our lifetime, have been bruised. Every one of us. There's a lot of different kinds of bruises. Let me name a few. We can have our hearts broken or bruised by the loss of a loved one. Jesus came to heal that. We can be bruised by a financial wipeout. Jesus came to heal that. We can be bruised by a health situation that limits our activity, but Jesus can still use us. And he has a job he can give us in his kingdom. We can be bruised by the betrayal of a friend, or family, or a loved one. Jesus came to deal with that too. There are just so many ways that we can be bruised in this life. And what did Jesus say? He said he came to set at liberty them that are bruised. That's you. That's me. And Jesus came to give us liberty. He can deliver us from sin and death and loneliness. He came to give us liberty or freedom. And if you like, from all of these things, this freedom or liberty doesn't come from government or from any other source other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's the worst, the most wonderful part of this. This freedom is given us on the inside, not necessarily on the outside. The gift has been given to us because Jesus loves us. Oh, what more can you ask for? What more? 2 Corinthians 5, 8 and 9. Well, we read from Romans 8 about the love of God and what could separate us from that. And the answer was nothing can separate us from that. Well, nothing can separate us from the liberty that he provides also through his Holy Spirit. We may lose our outward freedom, but our heart and soul are always going to be a part of Jesus Christ. If we are confined to prison or a mental hospital, or if we are part of forced labor camp, we're going to be free in our soul. And if our life is taken from us, then we're free to go to Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5, 8 through 9 tells us this. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. If Jesus has given you liberty this morning, if he has made you free this morning, you are free indeed. You can't be any freer. Father, thank you for giving us your word and explaining to us, Father, through your word, what you are doing in our lives. Thank you for the freedom of salvation, the freedom of having our sins forgiven and being given eternal life. Thank you, Father, for the freedom to live in your family, the family of God, and to be a part of that family. And Father, help us as family to work together to show ourselves that we have the freedom to be your children. And we will praise you, Father, for all that you do, because we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.